Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Cindy, I'm going to tell you this, right? Before we start these shows off, you just got to get in agreement. We got to get in agreement. If you're listening in, you're checking us out off the download, iTunes, whatever you need to do, you got to get here live and listen to how these doggone conversations go down in the doggone green room. Well, I'm hyped. Welcome to the roundtable of Sports City. Happy Friday to everybody out there. Still sending prayers to everybody down there in South Carolina. I'm feeling some type of way. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Thomas is alive. Everybody, welcome to the roundtable of Sports City. I'm so focused. Okay, the calling number is 917-889-9593. You got the next 60 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. I could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. And like I said, man, I got my brothers here with me, so the roundtable should be fun. Got an hour with these guys or more, depending on how much food for thought we got for y'all. Hopefully y'all can keep up with these dishes. But most importantly, I do live in the state of Connecticut. Thank you for everybody out here in the state of Connecticut. And I'm only talking about a select few because I'm actually taking the punches here in the green room because of some of you people that reside here in Connecticut. Y'all not from Connecticut. Y'all not, you know, historians from Connecticut, but y'all live here. Y'all live here. So thank you for doing what y'all do because y'all just inspired one heck of a conversation in the doggone green room. Now, let's get into it. My co-chefs, my big brothers are with me, calling in by way of the state of Indiana. You guys know him as the fantasy basketball king, Royce. Welcome to the Sports City Roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good, Thomas, man. Thought I'd stop in this Friday evening, join the roundtable, and get some food for thought. I know y'all talk a little bit more than basketball, so, you know, I'm ready to be educated, man. Let's do what we do in the kitchen. I'm ready to eat.
Okay. Look, see, this is what I'm talking about. Brother stepping their game up. And not to say that he don't know his stuff. He knows his stuff. I'm not trying to say like he ain't stepping their game up. But that's my basketball, guys. So hopefully we can throw some dishes at him, and I hope he's ready to eat. I just want him to eat. Okay, last but not least, calling in by way of the state of South Carolina, even though he's the Brooklyn guy himself, and this is what we were doggone arguing about, the boroughs of New York City. It's just interesting. Only 30-some-odd minutes away from me, though, here in Connecticut. Chandler, a.k.a. Mr. Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm as cool as the other side of the pillow. I'm actually in a really bad mood because there's some things outside of sports, and I really want to just, you know, run through South Carolina and do some things, but instead I'm going to sit here, I'm going to talk on the phone, and I'm going to basically blow up all your preconceived notions of what sports is about. We're about to educate all of you. So don't get it twisted. It's coming.
Listen, people, if you see, okay, I think he's about like 5'11", 6 feet. He wears glasses and he's dark skinned. If you see him in South Carolina, stop him. Don't let him do nothing out of the ordinary. Feed the brother. He likes steak and cheese. He'll eat chicken. He'll eat wings. I know this about him. I know this, you know. And he has a favorite drink. I won't get into that. I'll tell you off air. But he has a favorite drink. You can calm him putting 2-1-1 together. That's all I'm going to say. You put 2-1-1 together, you can slow him down. Now, unfortunately, we got a lot of interesting things to get into. A very interesting weekend. I don't want to take too much away from what we got kicking off tomorrow. For the food fight with a very interesting fight. But I do want to ask these guys a question about it and see how they feel toward it. Sean Porter, a guy out of Cleveland, goes up against a state foe, if you will, against Adrian Broner coming out of Cincinnati. I really am calling this the Battle of Ohio. Who wants to have the bragging rights, if you will, throwing this one around the kitchen? I know these guys probably aren't too big into both of these boxers, but both of these guys are knockout artists and pack one heck of a punch. I want to see how you guys feel about this fight. If you guys have any interest toward it, who do you like and why? I'll start off with you first, Chandler. If you heard anything about this fight now already, if you guys do have some strong knowledge toward it, Adrian Broner is probably one of the bigger personalities. I really want to say he has a big mouth, but I'm going to be respectable. But it's true. He does talk a lot of junk. The way it happened, he definitely disrespected Porter today. And Porter is probably one of the more humbler boxers, but he swings with bad intentions, and he lost a fight a little while ago, so these guys both actually took a fight on the chin as of recent history. But I want to see how you guys actually feel about this fight going into a Saturday night. Chandler, I'll start with you first. Adrian Broner and Sean Porter for the Battle of Ohio.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I hadn't heard a lot about the fight. Because they don't really promote boxing, in my opinion, the way they should. I know that Adrian Broner, I don't have a whole lot of love for him. I think he's a fraud. I think he's a fraud. That's the best way I can say it. I think he's a fraud. He's a pretender. He's a pretender to the throne, not a contender, a pretender. So I think he's going to lose. I think he's going to lose bad. First of all, your name is Adrian. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Your name is Adrian. You know, and there's no champion named Adrian. Okay, this ain't the movies. This ain't Rocky. Anybody stand in the middle of the room, Adrian? It's not happening.
Okay, wait. Before you keep going, what about Adrian Peterson? Hold, let's do that there.
Adrian Peterson ain't won a damn thing. Like I said, ain't no champion. Ain't no champion named Adrian. I didn't stutter.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't understand, it's been 2:11 time for me. Since about probably 1 o'clock this afternoon, so it is what it is. But there's no boxing champions named Adrian. Okay, you soft like your name, you're going down.
Okay. So sounds like he's pulling for Porter. This is interesting. I don't really want too much. If you got knowledge on these guys, like, it's cool. We can run with it. I just kind of want to see how you guys feel about each boxer who you're pulling for. But it is good that we get a little analogy out of Chandler and the name calling, if you will, already. And that's cool. I like it. I like it because it is kind of like karma-esque, the way that Adrian does talk a lot of junk before this stuff goes down. And he's only faced one defeat up against Marcus Maidana. Royce, your thoughts on this fight? If you have any knowledge or whereabouts on these two guys, did you hear about it? And if so, who do you like in this match and why?
Well, Thomas, I haven't really been keeping up with it. Been busy a lot of Saturdays. I tried to tune into the first time NBC started broadcasting boxing again because I was excited about boxing being back on national television. But from a clip that I kind of got going right now on my screen, you know, Porter looks to be the stronger boxer in this matchup. And as you mentioned, he looks like he definitely throws with ill intent. But from what I've seen, from what I've seen from Broner in the past, I mean, he's got decent speed. So, you know, I guess to just keep it on the surface, I mean, I think, you know, the power and strength is going to go to Porter. But, you know, the quickness, the elusiveness should go to Broner. To be cliche of the matter, you know, styles make fights. I think this is going to make for an interesting fight. I'm definitely going to try to get in front of the screen and see it now that we're talking about it. I know that Broner's been knocked out before. So, you know, that being said, if he's not where he needs to be, if that chin is not where it should be, he will check out. And it could be short night.
Wait, before you go further, he got knocked down twice. He made it through the storm. He made it through the storm. He got knocked down in the 11th, but he made it to the 12th. He didn't get knocked out, but he got knocked down convincingly. It was a convincing knockdown. It wasn't like a, he looked at the ref like that wasn't a knockdown. But proceed. I just want to make sure I get.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the corrections. Well, you know what I'm saying, if somebody like me in passing sees
right.
that knockdown in boxing, you figure the man got knocked out. You know what I'm saying? So, again, that being said, you know, it's going to be an interesting fight. You know, I know that Broner may have more knockouts. I'm looking at the record. You know, Broner's 30-1. You know, Porter's 25-1-1. 16 knockouts for Porter, 22 for Broner. Yeah. The question is, can you step up and live up to the hype? That's in every sport, but definitely when it comes to boxing. I mean, there's no sub. You know, you can't look to the corner and ask somebody to check in for you and go the next 3 minutes while you catch a breather. You know, you have to defend yourself at all times. And it's going to be interesting. I mean, if Broner boxes Porter, I would think, you know, just off the top, I'm trying to tap into, you know, the memory banks. If Broner boxes, I mean, he could probably win this fight. He's probably the better boxer in terms of scoring. But, again, Porter looks like a pit bull in the ring right now.
That's right.
You know what
You're
I'm
right.
saying? So, you know how pit bulls look. I mean, you know, some pit bulls look tougher than what they are, and then some pit bulls don't look so tough, but, you know, They'll break the other pit off something proper. So, again, all I can say is tune into the fight and find out, like me, who the man of the night is. Will it be Adrian Broner or will it be Sean Porter?
Now, interesting enough. I'm just like you, Roy, or the situation of Porter, because to me, Porter just burst on the scene about 3 or 4 fights ago when he fought Paulie, at least to me. When he fought Paulie, the Magic Man Malignaggi, in Brooklyn, the way that he basically tried to take his head off, it was like, I don't know who's going to slow this guy down. And after Broner had lost his fight to Marcos Maidana, he's been on a comeback streak and hasn't lost since. Now, it's interesting what Chandler has said about Broner, of him being, you know, a pretender to the throne and not a contender to the throne, because a lot of people pair Adrian Broner to Floyd Mayweather, which a lot of people are like, well, he's no Floyd Mayweather, and he runs his mouth a little bit too much, and he's not Floyd to, you know, go out there and be so boisterous with his lifestyle. But I think his record kind of respectfully puts him in that situation on him to be able to talk a little trash. So, but I think this isn't the fight to try and egg on a guy like Sean Porter, where what you just seen was Porter. He doesn't play games in there. He's not sitting up there trying to jab. He is literally trying to throw punches to lay you out. So I like this. This is a very interesting style of a fight. Broner likes to stay in the pocket, which I mean being in the pocket. He likes to stay in front of the guy and kind of make him miss and trade off a counter punch, you know, so on and so forth. So this is going to be a very entertaining fight. And a lot of people that think they can't afford to fight, this is going to be on NBC. Well, out here on the East Coast, it's Channel 4 where I am. So if you get the bird, the peacock, you'll be able to watch the fight. So I'm ready to see how this does go down. Now, we had an interesting discussion going on in the green room, and I want to get past this one as we get into other things in the kitchen. But this is the question that I'm going to pose, because I'm not going to – and he was right in calling me out. He was right in calling me out. That's my big brother, Chandler. So I'm going to say it like this without throwing up too much of a melee, but I do kind of want to bring the fire in the kitchen. Now, the story or the topic that I want to discuss is Tiger Woods, right? Now, Tiger Woods has not really been himself since the incident, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago with him and his former wife. You know, and he got into the incident outside of his house. He had injuries to his knee, his back situation, so on and so forth. And he's only like a handful of majors away from tying or breaking the record that's being held in golf history right now. Now, he has been struggling his last couple of tournaments here on this pro tour, if you will. Now, I want to throw this question around the kitchen, because this is a brief discussion that we had in the green room, and it got hot. So I do respect Taylor for actually putting me in my place about it, because I'm not going to lie, I have not played 18 holes of golf, so I can't really compare myself to a Tiger Woods, but can get his legs back underneath him. Do you think Tiger could be back at the top of golf? Now, I know his name, once he goes to a course or somewhere respectably, you know, throughout the tournament that they get into, a lot of people gravitate to go see Tiger. They pay, you know, thousands of dollars to watch him, you know, grace the course, so on and so forth. But he has not been, you know, your money's worth. I want to say the past couple of tournaments while he's been out there. I know it's great to see him. If he lets you probably get a signature or, you know, autograph or a picture with him, that'll be cool. But do you think Tiger could get back to the Tiger Woods that we all know from the Nike commercials, the Tiger Woods games, and so on and so forth? Do you think he can get back to dominating golf once again, or has this situation passed him by? Royce, I'll come to you first. And I know you probably don't have a big grasp of the situation around Tiger, but he's been struggling as of late, and it doesn't go to the people that were beside him, you know, his putting coaches, his swing coach, his caddy. I mean, his caddy was big to him as well, being, I think Steve Williams is his name, if I'm not mistaken. There were a lot of people that were in his corner when he was terrorizing the game. Now the situation where he looked questionable, and it looks like he needs a lot of the people that were in his corner back with him. Or if this is a karma situation where everything was once in his hands and he kind of took it for granted, and now it's kind of left him. Your thoughts that Tiger could get back to the old Tiger Woods?
Well, I'll say this. You know, I know this much about golf. You know, I got friends who golf. I refuse to do it personally because, you know, I think over time it does affect parts of your body where Tiger has actually had injuries. I'm talking about the back and the knee. So, you know, I think it was around either 2007, 2008, last time Tiger was really, you know, dominant. The Tiger Woods, most people know and love in terms of his golf game. And like you said, he had a stretch, a rough patch in his personal life. And not to steal any of Chandler's thunder, but truly, you know, I know that golf is a mental game more than physical. It looks like a lot of walking and swinging a stick, and that's not to be disrespectful. But it just, you know, I'm trying to make my point that it's more about mentally what you're able to accomplish on a particular day on the greens and minimal strokes, right? So, you know, that being said, you know, Tiger Woods is not as dominant, obviously, as he has been in terms of, you know, winning majors and dominating the field of play. Can he ever get back to that Tiger Woods? Sure he can. Is it on the horizon? Is the needle, you know, moving in that direction? Is his game peaking or trending upwards in a resurgence? Absolutely not. So Tiger may be in need of a serious break from golf, a vacation, if you will, a hiatus, a semi-retirement or something, to just deal with life, deal with his body, and then return once everything is clear and he can give the game the focus and the attention to detail that he once did. And I'm not saying Tiger is right now not attentive to detail, but again, I think to not steal Chandler's thunder, he's going to enlighten us on some of the other things that, you know, a person like Tiger Woods right now in his golfing career is dealing with. So, you know, in the reality, you know, the big picture scheme of it all, at around 40 years of age, is there still time for Tiger to break Jack Nicklaus' record? Yes, there's still time. Is it going to happen in the next two or three seasons? Probably not. And that's all I'll say about that. But, you know, what Tiger means to golf right now, again, Mr. Knight is going to educate the listeners inside Sports City.
Now, Chandler, your thoughts on this, the question that I'm posing right now, do you think Tiger could get back to his old self? Now, mind you, he's missed a cut again in his, the U.S. Open that they're in right now. He's missed the cut, so he's out. He hit an 85. This is his worst round as of him turning professional. There's a lot of, you know, cons going against him. And you know you got to be positive and kind of try and look for a brighter future. Do you think he could electrify his future similar to what Phil Mickelson has done, you know, getting into the age of the 40s, going into the 50s, so on and so forth? Or do you think there's a situation that Tiger will continue to struggle until he actually starts to, you know, refine his, you know, his short game on the putt situation or making sure he stays out of the fray because he's been hitting into bunkers and deep into the woods? He actually hit a shot so far off the course that he actually fell, and he had an interesting fall trying to get to the ball where he hit it at. Your thoughts on Tiger Woods, and not to just totally call him out, but I kind of am putting him on the stove here, if you will, in the kitchen.
Tiger Woods has won 14 majors. He's second all time. He's won 14 majors. He's second all time. I don't think anybody's going to get to 14. Ever. Even so much of Rory McIlroy's or whoever. They're not getting to 14. Golf is one of the things that really, really, really depends on your mental state at the time you're playing the game. Now, I don't get into people's personal lives in the sense of, listen, if he was cheating on his wife, then he deserved whatever she did to him, because I'm one of those people that believes if you stand before God and swear fidelity, then live up to it. So I'm not going to justify him cheating on his wife. I got a problem with that, to be quite honest with you, if that's what happened. So she hit him with a 4-iron, good, because he should have kept it in his tenure. All right? Now, having said that, being a single father, I don't have children. I know people who are single parents, mothers, single fathers. It's very difficult for them, you know, because when they don't get to see their kids, they're worried about the kids, they're thinking about the kids. Golf is a game where, you know, I used to work at the Triborough Bridge, and I used to go to Randall's Island and go to the driving range. And people would tell me, because I like to put my hands on people, when you're angry, go to the driving range, hit some balls. On the days I was upset, I never hit a ball more than maybe 50 yards, because I was so angry I couldn't focus. The days I could focus where I wasn't upset, I would hit the ball a good distance. You know what I'm saying? So golf is a game where you mentally, you have to be able to focus. You have to be able to block out everything. Tiger Woods is at an age, man, where, listen, let's be honest, man, you get in your 40s, you start thinking about your life. When you're standing over a little white ball, you can't stop your brain. You can't focus. And let's not forget, he's won 14 of these, so it's not a thing where, oh, my God, A-Rod, come on, baby. Yes! A-Rod got his 3,000th on the home run. Yeah! Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah. What was I talking about? Tiger Woods. Okay, let me focus.
Wait. Before you go any further, him and Jeter got their 3,000 hit on a home run. That's crazy.
Yes. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, I'm an A-Rod fan. Don't get it twisted. But
even
the thing with Tiger is, I think that with everything he's going through, and Ty, you might understand this. I don't, because I didn't grow up with a father. Since his father has passed is when Tiger has really gone downhill. Not the situation with his wife, but since his father died. I think his father meant so much to him. His father was a big influence on his life. His father was somebody he could go to and talk to and say, hey, Dad, you know, I'm screwing up. What do I do? You understand what I'm saying? I don't know what that's like. I envy that. You know. You know what I'm saying? If you had a dad and Royce, you know what I'm saying? You may know. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But for those of you who had fathers, to not have your father when things go wrong, from the friends that I have who grew up with their dads, and now that they're older, their dads ain't around, and when they make mistakes, they talk to me, and they say, man, if my dad was here, I could have went to him and said, yo, should I do this? And you know, and they should talk about what their dad would have did to them if they were doing the things they're doing. I think that's the problem with Tiger. I don't think he's gotten over his father's death, man. I don't think he's found that person, that figure in his life to go to when he's struggling. When he's struggling and when he needs somebody to tell him, listen, man, it's okay, whatever, you know, whatever words he needs to hear to get him back on track, he doesn't have that. And he doesn't have his kids all the time. And he's no longer married. And for those of us who've been divorced and we actually loved our wives, it's hard to be single again, man. It sucks. It sucks to not be married anymore. And if you have kids and you have a parent that you respected and loved died, he's got a lot going on. And if you're so old, it's time to be over it. How the hell are you going to tell somebody when they're supposed to be over loss, ending life? Who the hell are you? I don't care if Tiger Woods never wins another major. I really don't. All I really want to see him do is be happy. I know he shot an 80, not an 85. But you know what? When we bring this back to sports, I think that this is the bottom for him. I think Tiger's going to break Jack's record. I want him to break Jack's record. I hope he breaks Jack's record. But most of all, I just want to see him be good again. And I think that people don't give enough credence to everything that's going on in this man's life. And I still say young man because he's younger than me. And understand that with all of the losses that he suffered, would you be able to concentrate standing over a ball by yourself with nothing but your mind? You're inside your own head. You're looking at a little white ball, and you're supposed to focus to hit that ball with everything that he's going through. Would you be able to focus?
Now, here's the interesting thing I'm thinking about with Tiger, and I don't like to play with karma, plus I know family value and ethics, so on and so forth. And, you know, it's kind of like the way that I look at it. I looked at it as karma in the situation that Tiger that he went through, you know, before his father passed because of, you know, his father's past toward his mother and how they kind of separated. And he was like, he didn't really, you know, like the fact that he left his mom, so on and so forth. And, you know, health started to happen and his health started to decline. And it was like Tiger tried to retract the situation and try to, you know, strengthen that bond as best as he could before he started to see the last of his father. And his father passed on and, he lived the same lifestyle, you know, whether, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, he's probably one of the bigger names in golf anyway, still sitting on top of golf, even though his performance isn't doing that. And I think that actually played a big part into his decline. I mean, also just like you said, Chandler, him without his father, but him not having that, you know, free at will type of lifestyle, getting to do what he wants to do, gets to cruise the world at top-notch speed, so on and so forth. I think he does have that going on in his mindset at the end of the day. And I don't know, because he's not playing as strong, and it's more or less his other names on the field out there that are playing stronger golf. I mean, you still got to worry about Lefty. You got Rory, that's a phenom right now. Just to name a few of the guys that are out there. I mean, I am a Lee Westwood fan, but hopefully Lee can get back relevant. Who knows if Tiger will get back there. I think he, like I said, it's about a handful of games before he could actually tie or break Jack's situation. And of course, I really want to say Tiger will have until he's, 54, 55 before they actually, I think, consider him a senior. It might be on later, but he is approaching the age of 40. And these tournaments or majors aren't easy to attain. So this is something that I'm up here, you know, worried about. If Tiger could get back into the relevant conversation of, you know, back to the fire that he once had while he dominated the late 90s and was the name of golf throughout the 2000s, if you will. And it just fell off course as we get toward like 2011, 2012. And we've still been waiting to see if Tiger could shake off of the Eldridge situation, because he's basically gone back to Eldridge Woods instead of Tiger right now. And of course, he gets a lot of support and love from the people that want to delve into the sport of golf. I'm a casual fan. I'm not a diehard golf fan. And, of course, you know I'm going to cheer for Tiger because of him being a younger golfer and seeing the start of him since his amateurs and, being a broader name and watching him build that situation up in golf. It's kind of looked like a ghost factor, ghost situation that he might not be able to get back to. And this is something that I wanted to, kind of throw around or address here in the kitchen.
I'm sorry. You're right in many ways, man, like I said. But I don't know, for me, and maybe it's just because I envy the life that he had, to have a dad, that to miss, and to have a mom to miss, and all those things. And I look at it and I say, you know what, if you look at what this young man did, he was on the Merv Griffin Show when he was, I think, 6 years old.
I think he was three when he was swinging the nine iron, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so let's say he was three. Think of what he's accomplished in his life, and he's at a point where if he doesn't make the cut, people are ready to rip him to shreds. There was a time when no one would have ever thought a black man, even though he doesn't identify as black, that's a different conversation.
Right.
We have been able to play golf. You understand what I'm saying? At the level to win one major, not 14, just one major. Just one. We weren't given enough credit to win one major. He won 14. So for those of us who can understand where he's coming from in terms of his culture and his heritage, we need to get off his back, because there's not going to be another Tiger Woods. It's really not. And for those who are killing him, in my opinion, they're reveling in the fact that this black man won't pass Jack Nicklaus. And I'm going to call it what it is. This is where I am today. Okay? They're happy that this young black man won't pass Jack Nicklaus, because then it would make a lie to all of their preconceived notions about what we can do with this game of golf. They will put it to a lie. But Tiger, Eldrick, whatever you want to call him, if you think about what he's accomplished and say, okay, he's having a hard time now. He may never get back to the level. First of all, he's never going to get back to the level he was. He's 40 years old now, okay? He's not going to play at the level he did in his 20s. He's not. That's just for the time. But if you really step back and take the emotion out of it and take the nonsense out of it, are you kidding me? It's about time he shot an 80. It's about time he missed some cuts. How many years he went before he missed a cut? He's due to go through all of these failures because he didn't go through them when he was younger. So he's going through them now. Yes, Phil Mickelson has missed cuts. Has anybody ever said Phil Mickelson was done? Rory McIlroy has missed a couple of cuts this year. Where's the backlash against Rory McIlroy? So why is it only Tiger who has to make every cut? Why is it only Tiger who has to win every major? Nobody else has to. Phil Mickelson still hasn't won the career Grand Slam. Yet all I hear about Phil Mickelson is how great he is. Tiger won the career Grand Slam before he was 30 years old. He won it in a calendar year before he was 30 years old. He won all four major tournaments, and the fifth major that they don't call a major, he won that too. They call it the Tiger Slam.
Now, here's the interesting thing about it, though. Everybody that comes to those courses, though, Chandler, they're not coming here for lefty. They're not. As much as I totally understand where you're coming from on how it is unfair for him to have to stand up and go out there and ball. He has to go out there and ball, not only for himself, but to, I guess, to appease the media and also the people that are following him, and to the hundreds of people that are on the court spending, because I think some of the country clubs, you got to spend like $10,000, if I'm not mistaken, to go out there. So they're spending money to go out there to see Tiger. And if he's not making the cut, it's like a letdown to the people that are actually out there supporting him. I mean, of course, he still has a strong following. It's not like these people are going to leave him, because people still fear him. And they say, notably so percentage-wise, when Tiger's on the course or in the field on a lot of these tournaments and competitions, everybody percentage-wise steps their games up, every one of them. So he knows what he's up against. He knows what he creates. And they all actually play better because they know what type of player he is at the end of the day. But if he's not playing up to par, no pun intended, but it is kind of obvious. It's useful that I use it. If he's not playing up to par, you know, if he's off the course, doesn't make the cut, do these guys that are remaining on the field, does their style of play decline? You know, the people that are out there for the first round or so that's wanting him to make the cut, if he doesn't make the cut, do they not come back around, or are they just there for the festivities until they see what happens on a Sunday? I mean, those are things that I'm actually thinking of. In the health Tiger, well, not to say, I hope he's listening, because the Tiger listening to the kitchen, I'll pass out. I will, on air. Like you couldn't hear me no more. But, you know, if this is something that would actually give him some motivation to build strength, I mean, I'm all for him. I'd rather sit up here and talk a little bit of junk about him. I'm not on my Skip Bayless horse talking junk, and I got to say that because of my brothers here, because they told me to shut up about that. So I'm not on my Skip Bayless horse talking junk, but I do want to see Tiger get back to a situation, because everybody in Sports City knows, I've been preaching this since day one here in the kitchen, I believe in second chances. I believe on people bouncing back. Shout out to Mystical. And I want to see Tiger bounce back, and you know, every tournament or every tour that he may jump into, is like, I want to see Tiger at least be relevant top 10, or at least top 5 or top 3. He's not even making the top 25 to make the cut. That's what I'm worried and concerned about. So I did want to talk about that and get that one out there. Anything else that you guys would like to address before we get away from Tiger? Because that was something that was on my brain before we got to the roundtable today.
Let's go.
Okay, so the silence helps me. That's cool. Okay, so the Golden State Warriors have their their celebration parade, and of course, you outside of them winning their championship, so on and so forth, there's some things that are surfacing. You got Draymond Green calling out LeBron and the Cavs after they win the championship, and it's kind of like, yeah, it's fitting. I mean, you guys accomplished the goal, but he said that they sucked, and so on and so forth. It's like, whoa, Draymond, like you're waking up a beast. These guys were undermanned, and that's where I kind of give the Cavaliers the edge in that discussion, but I mean, you got to go out there and play with the people that you got. I mean, health played a critical part in how successful the Golden State Warriors were all postseason. But you also have the Golden State Warriors color commentator calling out LeBron and James Harden and saying that these guys, the Golden State Warriors, have traveled more than LeBron James and James Harden combined. So I think he's talking about James Harden's Eurostep. It's funny that now that they win the championship, you get this backlash all of a sudden out of a team that was more humble out of everybody being the Golden State Warriors. I think their crowd was probably the more, you know, animated group of people that just cheered for their team. I don't want to say the Warriors crowd was a bunch of trash talkers, but it's interesting that you have this situation going on. Warriors, I mean, respectfully so, do you think that this is a situation that the Cavs look toward the situation to get back to these guys? I mean, if they're sitting at the top of the hill right now being a champion, do they deserve – I mean, they do deserve the right to talk a little junk. Your thoughts on people now from the Bay Area, including some of the players, talking a little junk. And also outside of this, too, I didn't want to kind of join it together, but they do have it. The Cavs are already talking about getting rid of Brendan Haywood and a pick already. Now, I don't know how relevant Brendan Haywood would be in the league, especially for a pick, but I want to see what team entertains that. But, or worse, I'll let you set this one off first.
Well, you know, when you're the champ in anything, that's when you get to talk. I understand it. I don't have a problem really with people, you know, bragging for that 1 year where you're the champion. I mean, what can anybody say? But I think you have to, you know, be careful. You know, if you choose to be that kind of person, whether it be as an individual or as a team, and I just want to ask, I don't know if you guys got an opportunity to see the parade and the different interviews and things that were going on, but every time I saw Draymond Green make a comment in the microphone today, I thought he had a little too much to drink. I mean, honestly, his behavior and all that, I mean, look, Draymond Green can trash talk, okay? He's known for trash talking already. So where he was going with his trash talk today was more like, okay, this guy is almost losing a little bit of control. There was one interview, a young lady had the microphone. She was interviewing Andrew Bogut, and Draymond just kept cutting in and cutting in and cutting in and cutting in. And Bogut was even trying to be like, all right, man, all right, it's cool. Yeah. But I'm just saying. So in my opinion, if they want to report, you know, like some reporters like to, call it what it is. I'm not saying this is an opportunity to cut down, you know, another black man in America. But I look, Draymond Green has to understand what it is to be humble and gracious when you win. Okay, when you win at the highest level in your sport, there still should be a certain amount of humility and class and dignity that you demonstrate for all vanquished foes. You know what I'm saying? So, again, look, I'm happy for the Warriors. I didn't really like the way Draymond Green, for the most part, conducted himself when I was viewing, you know, portions of the parade today. I thought all those guys was you know, certain ones, they just seemed to be a little turned up. Klay Thompson, he already never has much of anything to say or anything worth listening to, and it was worse today. And like I said, Draymond Green, he sipped a little bit too much champagne, and then, you know, you got that heat. So, look, man, but what does it do for the Cavaliers in terms of maybe like bulletin board material in the locker room and all that kind of stuff? It's nothing. You know, in terms of the big picture, I mean, it's really nothing. I mean, you know, those guys were going to come out and try to compete and win a title for the city of Cleveland anyway. Now, what it might do for some of the matchups during the regular season, that's when you got to deal with it. The two times that you're guaranteed to play one another, because there's no guarantee we're going to get a Golden State-Cleveland rematch. I mean, you know, we talked about that on the Crossover Cafe on Thursday night. So, you know, we don't necessarily have Golden State returning to the final. So, you know, with that being said, I'll briefly touch on the rumor of Brendan Haywood and the Cavaliers' number 24 pick in the first round. They're throwing that out there as bait. It's really probably about the pick, and the thing that's supposed to be attractive about Brendan Haywood is not Brendan Haywood himself, the player, but it's his contract. It's an expiring contract, and, you know, we're at that place in the league right now, so expiring contracts really matter. So, it's a first-round pick available with Brendan Haywood, probably for a young veteran, if you will. Not somebody really who's in Brendan's class, but, you know, a young veteran. Maybe somebody that's been in the league, you know, 3 to 5 seasons, is hungry, and could probably help them in terms of the playmaking department. That's what they're looking for. They want more playmakers because they feel like that's where they lost the battle. They lost the battle in the playmaking department. Again, I ran it off the other day. You had Steph, you got Klay, you got Livingston, Iguodala, Draymond Green. That's like 5 playmakers right there. And I didn't even say Barbosa. you know, or anybody else. You know, David Lee's capable of passing from his position. So that being said, you know, it's just Cleveland's trying to, you know, they're trying to adjust and address their needs as a team because they intend to try to get back to the NBA Finals. So, you know, those are my thoughts on what's going on with the celebration out in Golden State and the picks and the movement of possibly Brendan Haywood and that 24th pick for the Cavaliers.
Chandler, your thoughts on the situation, especially what Royce addressed about the bait that the Cavaliers are setting up, and who could use the services of Brendan Haywood at the five position? I don't want to say he's that old. I want to say he's around 34, 35. He's getting up there also. We actually lost him. He must be having a technical difficulty situation. Hopefully we can get him back in here. But the situation that I'm looking at, one, the first thing that I'm looking at with Golden State situation is very interesting because Draymond actually was hushed by his family members telling him to, you know, kind of tone it down and go out there and ball. And now that they've actually, you know, gotten the title, it's kind of like, I guess, that relaxed situation, if you will, that he could go out there and talk, jump, so on and so forth. But looking at this matter, I think now that he's talking junk, you got, you know, the videos and links that they've been putting out there, I think they put the bullseye on themselves, not only outside of them winning the championship, but people wanting to knock off the champ. But now that these guys are, I guess, within themselves, that people want to knock them off. Now, interesting enough about the Brendan Haywood situation, the pick, I just want to know where Cleveland is going to end up going. This front office is making a ton of moves. I mean, since I want to say before LeBron got there, there's been move after move to try and help this Cleveland team, and hopefully this is the right move to get Cleveland right back to where they were, because if they're going to get rid of Haywood and the pick and not get to the NBA Finals, because they got to do better. They have to do better than what they got. If they actually fall off course earlier, this is going to be very interesting to see. Chandler, we do have you back. Your thoughts on both the Golden State Warriors and how they've been boastful about getting this championship and talking junk, and also the Cleveland Cavaliers trying to move, Brendan Haywood. I was going to say Draymond Green. Brendan Haywood and a pick. And seeing what team does jump at that situation.
I apologize. I was trying to unmute the phone, and I ended the call. And Didi Gregorius just went deep against Justin Verlander. Second home run. Yes, I'm a Yankee fan, people. For Draymond Green, I'm going to say this, man. I agree with Roy. I don't watch parades unless they're my team. But I do understand the guys that use these runs. Let's be honest. Okay, they've been partying since the game ended. This is why I don't know if Draymond will come back to Golden State, because he's from Michigan. He's a Detroit guy. I've lived in Detroit. These are not they're not wallflower-type people, okay? Let me just put it that way to be nice. They're not the Sherrod type, okay?
Right.
And if they get a little success, it tends to go to their head, and they think that they're the man. So that's what I'm going to say about Draymond Green. So when he doesn't come back to Golden State, keep this parade and have his conduct in mind, okay? But the whole thing with returning champions and why a lot of teams don't ever repeat as champions is the whole karma thing. Act like you've been there before, and you'll probably get there again. Act like you've never been there, and you probably won't get back there. Draymond, hint, hint. As far as the Cavaliers go, Brendan Haywood's contract is worth $10.25 million. I'm still trying to figure out how somebody offered Brendan Haywood $10 million. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Somebody help me with that. And they're opening the 24th pick. I'm still stuck on the $10 million. Brendan Haywood, $10 million. Those two sentences shouldn't go together. But somebody gave him that. Nobody's taking Brendan Haywood. Not even for his contract. Because it's Brendan Haywood. Okay? It's Brendan Haywood. How the hell you want $10 million? Who signed him for $10 million? Seriously. Who signed
Brendan Haywood for $10 million? I need to know that. I really need to know.
Hey, the Knicks could use a big.
I will come to Connecticut and kneecap you. Seriously. I will come to Connecticut and kneecap you. Because Phil Jackson might be listening, and he might trade the number 4 pick for that.
You're
okay?
Right. You're right.
I can see it tomorrow. The Knicks trade the number 4 pick for Brendan Haywood and number 24 pick. I can see it tomorrow. I don't blame the Cavaliers for trying to get rid of Brendan Haywood. I honestly, listen, I don't care what you're going to have to give up the 24th pick and at least I'd say at least Dellavedova or Tristan Thompson to move Brendan Haywood. That's my opinion. Nobody's taking Haywood in that 24th pick for the Cavaliers to move up in the draft. If you want to move up in the draft and that's what you're offering, you better give up Tristan Thompson along with Haywood. And they're not going to give up Thompson. So I think this is just them floating a trial balloon that's going to get shot down, and no one wants Brendan Haywood. Even Brendan Haywood wouldn't trade for Brendan Haywood.
What killed me, and this is a personal gripe for today, I'm going to get a little personal. What killed me was looking at the end of that bench for Cleveland. You mean to tell me y'all ain't got Kendrick Perkins, Brendan Haywood, and Mozgov, which Mozgov actually ended up being an interesting piece. While Varejao is going to be coming back, Kevin Love is going to be coming back, and Tristan Thompson. You got all of these bigs there. And half of them were just going to coattail Ryan LeBron to try and get them an NBA final. That's what bothered me, that a lot of them weren't even going out there and balling. They just wanted to get the jewelry. But I felt that was not
nah, the nah, right nah, nah, nah. Hold on. I can't let you say that, man. Them guys was there because they already had jewelry. You know what I'm saying? That's why they were there. Haywood Perkins was there for Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. I mean, they already knew Varejao was done for the season when he went down, so they didn't come in for Varejao's sake. You know, and they had to go out and get Mozgov because they kept getting small. But those bigs were just there, you know, to try to, you know, encourage a young player like Tristan Thompson on how to be, you know, championship ready, you know, what it's like to go through NBA finals and, you know, when your number's not being called game in and game out and you're not the starter and you got to deal with disappointment. Because before Kevin Love ended up in Cleveland, man, before LeBron announced he was coming there, everybody had Tristan Thompson penciled in once again as the starting power forward on that squad. He had to be demoted, but mentally he had to stay ready. So that's just kind of how I saw that. But they're going to be gone. I mean, it's a moot point. But, yeah, Cleveland's going to get rid of Haywood. He's going to get rid of Perkins. And they're going to go out and get playmakers. They're going to go from being big to being a little bit smaller in terms of depth on the roster.
Okay. And I definitely think they need another guard. So I think that's what Cleveland may be searching for, whether it's going to be a shooter or a point, but I think they definitely have to get somebody in that backcourt to, one, be ready for Dellavedova if he's not there, and, two, we have to worry about the health of Kyrie and seeing if he's going to bounce back. Royce, I want to ask you one interesting quick question before we get out of here. I'm going to throw it to Chandler also, but I'll go to you first. Your thoughts, and this is kind of a personal situation for me and kind of you personal, but I want to see how you feel about it. Allen Iverson and possibilities of him being in the front office for the 76ers, and knowing that Larry Brown has actually come up and spoke publicly to get Allen Iverson involved with his organization, as much as he's done for this team hey, let's just say from 96 to about 2009, 2008, around that time before everything started to get a little fickle. Your thoughts on Iverson? Hey, well, okay, 2015. So for 19 years, right, let's say 19 years, Allen Iverson and the possibility of him helping the 76ers.
You know, Thomas, I'm actually glad you brought that up. You asked me that question because I want to be somewhere in this universe, you know, being on record stating that Allen Iverson is good for the Philadelphia 76ers. It's not my job to try to tell the ownership group and management right now, you know, what position is best for Allen. I just think that it's best for the Philadelphia 76ers to have Allen a part of that franchise. He's always wanted to be, you know, a day one Sixer until the end. He never wanted to be traded. But, you know, that's in the past. At this point, the reality is, for the last 19, and we'll say, we'll just go ahead and book it for 20. I don't want to deal with a teenage number. Let's book it for 20. For the past two decades, for the past 20 years, no 76er has meant more to that organization than Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson has impacted the league and the players he played against. He's impacted the players who are attempting to make names for themselves that looked up to him, guys that wanted to be him, that wanted to be like him, that wanted to have that type of impact on the game that he has had. There is something that Allen Iverson can contribute to this organization besides just public appearances and autograph signings. And I think it would behoove management to sit down with Allen and to try to tap into what his strongest talent is, whether it be scouting, whether it be motivating, you know, the players in terms of player development, getting them ready to go out and play each game like it's their last, whether he's the guy that you want on your bench or is the guy that you want, you know, making decisions in terms of putting talent together. I don't know what the best position is for Allen, but I think there's a position for him. I will say that if there is a hesitation or a fear out there, I think people fear the fact that, again, Allen Iverson being who he is, he wields so much power, if you will. He's a young man with a lot of power and a lot of influence. And I think that's probably the hesitation with management. How much do they have to acquiesce to Allen Iverson being in the office now, okay, because he is so influential to, you know, over the last 20 years to generations of young people, even some young adults. So, you know, that being said, man, I would be thrilled as a Sixer fan, as an Allen Iverson fan. This team is desperately in search of its next star. You know, I grew up on the Dr. J era and was fortunate enough to get Barkley, you know, in there as Doc was riding off into the sunset. But it was a nice, in my opinion, it was a small drought, right? You know, they sent Barkley out to Phoenix and he played in Phoenix in 93. But I was happy that, you know, it was a short-lived window before we found another star in Allen Iverson. But since Allen Iverson, there's been nothing. Look, and I like Andre Iguodala. Salute to Andre Iguodala for being Finals MVP, but he was no franchise player. He couldn't carry the squad. There hasn't been a guy who could carry the team anywhere since Allen Iverson. No one. And with what the Sixers have been told right now in terms of bigs, there's nobody to carry. You know what I'm saying? They're big men, and it's a guard-dominant league, so they're still looking for somebody to carry the flag for the Sixers. And, man, they unveiled some nice new uniforms, too. We didn't get a chance to talk about that, but, man, check that out. It's all over my Twitter page, or you can go to Sixers.com. So I'm out of here, and I'm a guy to let Chandler and everybody else get some in. Apologies.
Stop it. Would you cut it out? cut it out. Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on Iverson possibly joining the 76ers team in that front office wherever they have an opening? I would more or less look at him being a scout for a talent evaluating or something of that nature, and he more or less could actually measure these guys' heart because he said he was the biggest fan of Russell Westbrook. So if he's measuring people up to him or Russ, just imagine what he could probably bring into that 76er team. So I don't know if he can or has that power to, but your thoughts on Allen Iverson trying to help out the team that helped his career so heavily?
Well, we talked about this a little while ago, and we were talking about how all of a sudden everybody was coming out of the woodwork to have negative things to say about Allen Iverson. And I remember saying, I think it's because Allen Iverson is about to get a job in the NBA. Funny, and now, about, what, 2-3 weeks later, people are talking about Allen Iverson having a job in the NBA with the 76ers. Philadelphia fans are a different breed of cat, okay? They're a different breed of cat. I'm from New York. We don't get along with Philly. But they're a different breed of cat because the players that they tend to idolize, they revere, wouldn't be the players we would assume. Fred Mad Dog Carter is a guy that's still loved in Philly. He was on one of the losingest teams in the NBA. Okay? If you look at the type of players that Philly fans like, the Fred Mad Dog Carters, the Andrew Tony, the Allen Iverson, the Andre Iguodala, they love players who will basically be willing to die on the court for them. Dr. J is a Philly icon, but you ask the average Philly 76er fan, they'll probably name a couple of players before they get to Dr. J when they're talking about guys that they love. They revere Dr. J. He's a lot for that franchise, but there's a couple of players ahead of him who never won championships in the hearts of Philly fans. Bobby Jones, George McGinnis, guys like that, okay? So
love for Moses Malone, huh?
Mo wasn't there long enough, man, and he really didn't endear himself to Philly. He won a championship, but it is what it is, man. You understand what I'm saying? Darryl Dawkins, honestly, I believe, in my opinion, from talking to cats I know from Philly, is more loved than Moses Malone.
Okay? Really?
Really. I know more Philly fans that love Darryl Dawkins more than they love Moses. All right? Like I said, it's a different breed of cat because they're more concerned about what you're willing to do on a game-by-game basis than what you do when the championship comes. Because if you ain't willing to bleed for us all season long, don't show up in the championship. You understand what I'm saying? Bleed for us all season long. Then we love you no matter what happened. Chuck Bednarik. You understand what I'm saying? Come on, man. These are the type of cats that Philly fans love. All right? So it is what it is. But Allen is the type of guy who he can look at somebody and understand whether they're a Philly type of player.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the Philly fans will accept them, whether they're the type of guy who can succeed in that environment. Because the other thing about Philly fans is real serious, man, real simple, okay? We will boo you no matter what you're doing until you prove yourself to us. Ask Michael Jack Schmidt, okay? Mike Schmidt hit 500 home runs, right? He hit over 500 home runs. He got booed more of his career than he got cheered in Philly. All right? Philly fans love him to this day. They love him. They will die for him. They booed the hell out of him on a daily basis. Ask him. All right? Mm-hmm. And they love him. This is what happens when you are a Philly sports star. Okay? You have to be able to deal with that. Allen can understand the type of players and their mentality who can deal with that, who can succeed in that crucible of fire. I think that Allen should be hired. I think he should be the assistant general manager in charge of player development and scouting.
Wow.
not the GM, because we don't want Allen negotiating contracts. We don't want him talking to other teams. Let me be clear on this, all right? Until he has about 10 years in that position. But we want Allen as the assistant GM. What's the assistant GM's job? Go out on the road, scout players, run the scouting department, look at the guys that are on the floor. Don't worry about the contracts. I've got that. You tell me about the player. Measure his heart. Measure everything that I can't see on tape. You understand what I'm saying? That's the assistant GM's job, man. A good assistant GM makes a general manager look like a genius. Okay? That's what the assistant GM's job is, to make his boss look good. So he does all of the dirty work. Allen loves to do the dirty work. Man, he was a football player. He was a football player. And those of us who play football, what's football about? It's about the dirty work. It ain't about the pretty stuff. It's about the dirty work, man. You understand what I'm saying? It's about that block. It's about getting down there and you playing out on that field and it's muddy and you got to take a cat down, all right? And your face is buried in the mud. There's four cats on top of you and you're trying to breathe and they all right? That's what the assistant GM's job is. You get his face buried in the mud. Allen is a football player, for those that don't know, okay? He was a football player before he was a basketball player. That's the position they should hire him for. I'm sorry. That's the position they should hire him for. I mean, I want him to have a job in the NBA. I think the NBA needs Allen Iverson. I truly do. I think they need him. Look at the last two generations of basketball players. You ask them who their top three idols are, it's Jordan, Kobe, Allen Iverson. Not Shaq, not Magic, not Bird, you know, not any of these other guys. It's Allen Iverson, it's Jordan, and it's Kobe. What do those three guys have in common? That they will die on the court before they let you beat them. Okay? That's what they have in common. Why wouldn't you want a guy like that in your front office? Why wouldn't you? I don't understand why you wouldn't, but I do know that there is concerted effort on part of some media types to keep Allen Iverson out of basketball. I hope it doesn't succeed. I think if he goes to Philly, and let me be clear, when the Knicks got Stephon Marbury, the guy I wanted them to get was Allen Iverson. But those that remember, the Knicks were choosing between getting Iverson or getting Marbury. They went and got Marbury. I wanted Iverson. Always wanted Allen Iverson to play in New York. So understand that I believe Allen Iverson will be one of the most successful assistant GMs at first and then successful general managers in the history of basketball.
Allen Iverson, you got a clean sweep in the kitchen, brother. They want to see you working, man, and I don't want to hear you, or not even hear, I don't want to see you on TV, you know, showing your emotions on how hard it is, man. I want to see you working, man. I don't like to see nobody not out there doing well for themselves, man. If I wasn't on air, I'd have said it differently. But I want to see people do well, and I watched you come out of Virginia and come grace the floors in Georgetown, man, and I wish you'd have stayed all 4 years, but crazier stuff happened with you and JT Jr., because a lot of people call him senior and me junior. But anyway, AI, go out there and do your work, man. Hopefully somebody up there has that heart to pull you in and bring your lion heart into the organization and hopefully help turn the Sixers around, because it's enough of people going into the Wells Fargo Arena and stealing wins. Somewhere where you basically cupped your ear to hear the noise, that noise is no longer there. Anything else toward Allen Iverson before we get ready to close up shop here at the roundtable, though?
Let me say this, man. Allen Iverson is, outside of Isaiah Thomas, the best 6 foot and under player to ever play NBA basketball.
Agreed.
I'm trying to think of some small guys, but of course I'd love for Iverson to take that award. So I'm not even going to hate. Iverson, go ahead and take it. And that's actually an interesting one, even though Isaiah got two championships and you know, went up against some tough caliber players back in the 80s. But that's an interesting debate. Got to save it for a cafe. Save it for a cafe. Iverson or Isaiah. I keep it to the eyes. Iverson or Isaiah. But, of course, you know which way I'm going to go. Especially in the 80s, I could not stand the Bad Boys. I couldn't. So I'm already letting y'all know where my pick would go, even though I probably have a hell of a debate on my hands because I got some old school cats that are probably trying to give me a new one talking about how Zeke was so good with those boys out there. But we are at the closure here at the roundtable. This is an epic episode. We even gave y'all golf sports, City. We gave y'all golf dishes. I'm rounding this out, Sports City. Y'all better get focused, man. Y'all better get on this train while it is hot. But I need these guys to give me plugs, close out, anything that they like to promote as we shut it down on a big Friday here at the roundtable. I'll start with you first, Worth. Anything that you like to plug, promote, close out with, any shout-outs that you may have as we step out of the kitchen tonight?
Oh, man, you know, just Sports City Chefs, man. You know how it is. You know what we do around here. Thomas always working. Brother don't get a day off. We're going to steal his day off next Wednesday to get everybody ready with that NBA draft. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have a little pre-draft conversation, then come right back Thursday on the Crossover Cafe MasterChef Edition. And we're gonna chop it up while the draft is actually, you know, going on live. So, you know, give you our opinions immediately following the picks. So, you know, that's what I'm promoting. You know, you can follow me on Twitter at Royce Warren King. That's it, man. It's a pleasure being here on the roundtable inside Sports City. One love.
Look, and that's not even fair, Sports City. You just heard what Royce just said. I'm mad. They don't even ask me what you got going on. They telling me that I got a doggone cook. I got to cook 7 days next week. 7 days. They don't even care. Like they don't even send me like a send me a box of steaks or something. I eat steak. Like do something like that. Gee, they telling me I got to work all 7 days next week with Sports City deals for y'all. Just because I love this stuff, I'm gonna do all 7 days for y'all because they're making me get my Wednesday on too. So I got to. Chandler, last but not least, as we shut it down here at the roundtable, I need a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the roundtable.
Alex Rodriguez, 3,000 hits. Congratulations, A-Rod. That was tremendous. Home run. Royce, at Royce Warren King on Twitter, at TP Timeless, at Ty Powell on Twitter, at Sports City Chefs on Twitter. We got the food fight tomorrow. That's at Ignacio at Nacho in the Box, Ignacio Silva, and
Hey, he had some of that stuff Draymond Green had.
Wait.
See, it's only that funny because I'm right.
Yo, look, Draymond, leave that 211 alone before your public appearances. I'm on my personal phone. I can do this. We got the food fight tomorrow with Nacho at Nacho in the Box. It's Ignacio Silva at Ty Powell. These are both their Twitter handles. Sports Chefs is on Twitter. Man, I had all the good stuff to say, and I lost it all. You know, and ladies from Detroit. I had a lot of fun tonight, man. This is great. Tyler, you can take Monday off if you want. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to work 7 days, but I'm going to say this. There is a major aerospace company, a multi-billion-dollar corporation, that is looking forward to hearing you on Wednesday. So, you know what I'm saying? Put on your big boy pants and let's get this done.
If that's the case, then if they aren't listening to what we are cooking in the kitchen, then I have no choice But to start cooking, man, hey, that I ain't big for no reason. But we do have somebody peeking their head in the kitchen late. Coach Chef on the Saturday Food Fight, Ignacio Silva, a.k.a. Nacho. Welcome to the round table as we're closing out. What's going on? How you feeling this evening?
You know, it is hot. 115. I just spent 10 hours on the roof of an airport. It's been a long day. I just getting off work, so I just wanted to call in, and I called in way too late. Again, you know, I'm sorry if I missed anything. I was just popping in to say it's at Nacho in the Box on Twitter. Thank you. The food fight tomorrow. I just wanted to dwell one little thing. For tomorrow, I got a little something going on. Ty doesn't know about yet. I'm going to sneak it in on him. November 21st or November 28th. That's all I'm going to say. And then we'll get in that tomorrow food fight. It's going to be really cool. I'm really excited for it. I got the day off tomorrow. Worked extra hard this week. So we're going to have the food fight in full effect. And we got so many fights tomorrow. Thanks for letting me get on late, Ty.
That's fine, man. You know I can deal with it, man. Especially surprises. Now they coming with surprises for me. I got, you know, Draymond and Chandler drinking the same stuff, man. And Roy pointed that out. Roy made me crack up, like my ribs hurt laughing like that, man. Like for real, like don't do that again. I can't do it. But check this out, man. 7 days a week, the boys stay busy. Like Nacho said, we'll be back at it tomorrow, talking more about that Sean Porter, Adrian Broner fight, like we started the show off. He missed it. So press rewind, Nacho. You'll hear how these guys feel about how this fight is going to go down. And also, Roy got a little pointer on how Sean Porter be hit. So, listen, he called Sean Porter the pit bull. Just so you know, he called him the pit bull.
Already.
It can get crazy. It can get crazy. But y'all stay tuned. There's a fight tonight. I think Kimbo Slice, Ken Shamrock go at it. And Kimbo is in his 30s or 40s, and Ken Shamrock is 51, people, fighting. So this is going to be pretty epic, Sports City. I'm on my stuff, regardless of the situation. Tiger, get your stuff back, man. I'm still supporting you. I'm talking junk because I like to pick my people up. I ain't the one that'll put you in the dirt. I want to see you bounce back. Let's get it, Sports City. I am so focused. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, Chandler, get it together, man. Now you know.
For tomorrow, we keep it alive. Respect to the newcomers, but respect mine. I'm young spitfire like a flamethrower. H the reason I'm dope now, I told him. My brother, I got this, we got this. Sealed in the bag, my bruh, it's in the pocket, Fresh from the era of being terror. Yeah, we made it, bitch. Most niggas never. Now, look up now, we like a mirage. Up to date, everything, sergeant boss. Captain Hooks, I front you at 16. Let niggas a few lines. Yeah, that's mine. This groundbreaking fresh. There is no blueprint. Set a few trends and move on to new shit. All praise is due to infamous too. Fuck is that shit you rap? It's not true. We are timeless, timeless. Like my hammer not jumping. These days got my goonies on deck though. With nothing to live for and let go. Dead ass in front of police. Billy kid shit with a cold reach. Handy got me speaking with a slow speech. And it's overdone, but it's so deep. Lock at the bottom, I'm low key. Don't want you ready more, she chose me. Fuck out of here, kissing on the rosary. Like a bitch on the period, it's long mine. The rocket science, small deep, know we shine. We at war, niggas gotta hold the line. Cowards looking with it like it's overtime. You a false flag, still gonna hold a nine. Timeless, timeless. Priceless. Priceless. Timeless.
hold up to me because they think I am a success. I've got what they've always wanted, money. Without it, you're nothing. Money buys dignity. Poverty is a crime. Nobody asks you where you got your dollar. They ask you, do you have it? That idealistic shit don't pay your rent. I don't want to start philosophizing anyway.
Can you blame me? I was raised from a cold street. Make for a better story what they told me. Sad part, this shit is real life. Pressure on me enough to break a fucking steel pipe. White blood on my razor blade. Teach niggas how to chill out and make way. When you see me, take it easy, best believe me. This the real world, nigga, not TV. M-O-V-B. Money over bum bitches, deeper than the sea floor. You sleep with the fishes when you try my tolerance, dumb nigga. I'm a hip-hop god, you just a fuck nigga. I do this for reals, you wish you could. Talking like you will, I wish you would. Start a war, get it on. You are not that strong, we are timeless, timeless. Priceless, priceless.
They got me staring at the world through my rear view. Go ahead, baby, scream to God. He can help you with your problems. Thug brothers, why when we come through, they can relate to Chef Music, help them with their problems. Turn us up. What's your problem? Sports City, that's all I got. I'm gone.